Our theme tonight is the Fed pulls the trigger. They finally did it. They raised interest rates 25 basis points this week and indicated their goal is to raise steadily through next year, presumably a quarter for a 1% raise next year. So 25 basis points is there are 100 basis points and 1%, so it's a quarter of 1%. Who wins is savers, pension funds, insurance companies, people who manage retirement money. Who loses is dollar borrowers all around the world. This is going to raise the dollar and then raise the price of getting and borrowing dollars. And that's particularly going to hurt those whose revenues depend on commodities. You have a lot of companies consolidating earnings from abroad, and it makes it tougher for them. The US dollar index was back up. It was over 99 today. The market was up. The equity markets were up yesterday, back down again today. Oil's really clocked back down at 34. If you look at the technicals, we're a little bit in uncharted territory, but we could easily hit 29, 28 if it breaks that 38 line, which it appears to do. The rising interest rates, I believe, is the right thing to do. Zero interest rates has produced massive misallocation of capital. It's penalized savers and promoted more centralization. The fact that the Fed is raising interest rates signals the end of really a monetary policy that for the last 7 years is designed to facilitate the financial coup d'etat. So to one sense, this is the coup is now over. It's also the end of a 35-year plus great bond bull market, in which global finances were bubbled by cheap government debt. So if you're an American, you've basically been part of a party that started at the end of World War II, and that party is now coming to an end. This is so big and it's gone on for so long, it's very hard for people to fathom a reality other than the one that cheap government debt creates. It's very interesting. After when I was in the middle of litigation, I said to myself, you know, I'm going to adopt a lifestyle and live in a manner that I would live if it had ended, because when it ends, I want to be in the right place, not the wrong place. And one way of thinking about the financial coup d'etat was that it happened in anticipation of this transition. They wanted to get all their money out at the top. In the short run, it is contributing to a crash in commodities. It's part of the global slowdown, including oil and gas. The oil card is also at play. And as we watch falling oil prices and the resulting devastation in the oil and gas sector and the related junk market, how long this is going to go on is very much going to depend on the drumbeats of war and whether they continue or not, because war only contributes to more global deflation and slowdown. In recent weeks, it has become obvious that the ISIS is flowing oil to Israel at below market prices, among other things, so Israel can forsake Russian supplies. It wouldn't surprise me if that was one of the reasons for what happened in San Bernardino, is basically whiting out that story that is now pretty much bubbling all over the globe. The reality is that even at $34 a barrel, Russia has not been brought to their knees. They're not even close, which means the neocon strategy is going to have to inflict a lot more pain if it has any chance of working, and I don't know that it does. It really comes down to who's got what space weapons, to be blunt. What it has managed to do is to wreck a great deal of what is left of U.S. credibility. Bret Stephens wrote in a Wall Street Journal editorial this week, quote, "The central foreign policy challenge facing the next president of the United States is how to reestablish American credibility with friends who no longer trust us and enemies who no longer fear us." Very important statement. I'm going to put it up on the website as a quote du jour, but let me read it to you again because I really think it's important to understand this. The central foreign policy challenge facing the next president of the United States is how to reestablish American credibility with friends who no longer trust us and enemies who no longer fear us. The zoo story, consisting of Donald Trump, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Hillary Clinton, and the San Bernardino events over the last 2 weeks, trumpeted to the world that America is in deep trouble and does not have a cohesive leadership that is up to the challenge. We are flying on a sea of false flags, bizarre media, and entrainment. While the polls say it's working, the smart money doesn't. I assure you that raising interest rates 25 basis points will not attract back the capital that decided over the last 2 weeks that it was time to shift investment and operations away from America because America lacks adult supervision. In one sense, the Fed raised interest rates on the monetary side of the house to attract capital being pushed away by temper tantrums, infighting, and entropy on the fiscal side of the house. And so the multiple personality disorder of our culture continues to blossom before our eyes and inspires us to take a different path. If you're on this call, I know you and I are on a different path. Money and markets, there's no better sign of deflation than what's happening at the universities. I have gotten numerous emails over the last month from people who work in academia or involved with universities in a whole variety of ways. And it was clear to me that they had very little of the basic understandings they need to understand what's happening. More than a couple times in the last month, somebody said to me, "What's a control file?" And I realized, whoa, you are not safe in this environment unless you know how to navigate it. To navigate it, you need to understand what's going on, including the fact that the pots of money at universities are huge. These are big, big businesses, not just the money rolling through the income statement, but the endowments and assets. And so I decided we would just do a special. I called up John Rappaport and said, "Would you help me do a special?" We'll call it Beat Down at U.S. Universities. And John agreed, and we jumped on and did one for subscribers and put up a lot of the links you need to know. There's a professor from UC Davis who's done a very good job of sort of outing the game. We put up that video as well as the video of Norm Dodd's really amazing interview with Ed Griffith many years ago about sort of how the tax-exempt model works and how endowments work and work in the United States. If you have a loved one, someone you care about or close to who's at a university, feel free to share that with them. I think it really can help them navigate their environment.